Reputed mob boss James Whitey Bulger is expected in federal court in South Boston this afternoon. That's the same neighborhood where he allegedly carried out his violent reign for decades, but it's at a courthouse that didn't even exist when he fled the area 16 years ago. He'll face charges for 19 murders, as well as conspiracy, narcotics distribution, extortion, money laundering, and also face questions. Does he have new information about other corrupt FBI agents who may have helped him run his criminal empire? Maybe helped him stay on the lam the last 16 years. Bulger and his longtime companion, Catherine Grieg, made their initial court appearance in Los Angeles yesterday. Boston Globe reporter Shelley Murphy was there. She said he was in good spirits, mocking reporters by mimicking them while, pretending to take notes as they were. Here's more.
He actually looked rather grandfatherly. He had a white beard and mustache. He's bald with a little bit of white hair, sparse white hair on his head. What surprised me is how relaxed and nonchalant he looked. He was smiling, he was chatting with Kathy. He did not look physically ill. He looked quite fit.
Again, Shelley Murphy of the Boston Globe. Well, the pair, Catherine Grieg and Whitey Bulger, went under the names Charles and Carol Gasco. Their neighbors are also now talking. They say the couple didn't have a car, barely left their apartment in Santa Monica. Here's Barbara Glick on ABC. She said Bulger would get angry when she chatted with Catherine Grieg.
A couple of times he had rage outbursts, like, stop talking to her, let's go! I think he has dementia.
All right. Is that the beginning of a defense? Let's bring in David Boeri, a reporter at Here and Now's home station, WBUR, but he has covered the Bulger story for 26 years, hot on its path, and he'll be in court today. First of all, David, respond to those rage issues we're hearing about, calling him a rageaholic.
It made me smile, Robin, because the surveillance tapes when they were back in Boston give a different light to that. I think that might be telling the neighbors, it's okay. He may have dementia issues. She might have suggested that. But those tapes back in Boston revealed the following conversation. And I'm paraphrasing it, but it's close to real. Whitey's talking to Catherine on the phone, and he says, and the two poodles that are barking in the background at Catherine's house, to which Whitey says, listen, would you shut the bleeping dogs up? I bleeping told you, if you don't bleeping shut the bleeping dogs up, I'm going to come over and bleeping kill them. Dementia?
Right.
I don't know. I think it was a continuing problem for him going a long way back.
Yeah, well, the hearing in Boston begins at 4 p.m. Eastern. There are people who have a visceral sense of what you're describing. They're the family members of his alleged victims. Many are expected to be there. There's South Boston resident Luann Litiff. She was 20 when she says she found her father, Louis Litiff, shot dead, stuffed into the trunk of his car. And we apologize, by the way, for the nature of some of this conversation, but this is the story of Whitey Bulger. Although he was never charged for that murder, but his gang was implicated, and Luann Litiff wants him to name names.
I want him to admit to everything, what he did. I want him to apologize, not that he will. I want him to have his day in court and bring down the people who are walking around free and clear, blaming him for everything. He had associates. He had people helping him. There's no way this man did these things alone.
Okay, David Boeri, just a little bit of context here for our listeners outside of the area. This area, South Boston, especially at the top of his reign, 60s, 70s, was a very insulated, Irish, not very well-to-do neighborhood at all. Just a few decades past the Irish need not apply era of Boston, they felt like they were the underclass, and he lifted many of them up. However, and we're hearing people today saying, he defended the neighborhood. However, he also ruined the neighborhood with drugs, with bullets. What do you expect to happen at the courthouse today?
First of all, imagine if they were bringing in Osama bin Laden. This is going to be the kind of treatment that would be fit for Osama bin Laden. You're going to see lots and lots and lots of men with guns, and you're going to see a cavalcade of cruisers in there. This is going to be absolutely top-notch pride to security. It's going to be a big show, and there are going to be lots and lots of people.
And
there,
lots of emotion from these families. But who has it in for him? Worked with corrupt federal law enforcement officials. He pretty much ran the FBI when he was supposed to be an informant. We spoke to former U.S. Attorney Don Stern. Now, he ran the Boston Attorney Office from 1993 to 2001. he says he didn't understand the level of distrust the state police had for the FBI and, you know, things that stymied investigations. Let's listen.
As you peeled away those facts, you know, the unpleasant truth of law enforcement during that period in the Boston area, the wounds were very deep. And so the old wounds continued to be open sores, and it sometimes made relationships quite tense.
Well, you know, we've heard from other people, quite tense. It was insane. It was, you know, law enforcement wasn't able to fight drugs. They were fighting each other.
I have a great deal of respect for Don Stern, but if he did not understand the nature of that tension, then his misunderstanding prolonged the search for Bulger. The fact of the matter is that if you're U.S. attorney, your investigators are the FBI. Without the FBI being your friends, you don't have any investigators. And oftentimes in a previous U.S. attorney, Jeremiah T. O'Sullivan said he was afraid of the FBI. And so when it comes to a dispute between the FBI and the state police, who want a much more aggressive search for Whitey, who want the U.S. Marshals to be brought in, the U.S. attorney is going to be at pains to cut across, to get against the FBI.
Right. But even before this, they couldn't prosecute, any drugs, any of these laundering cases, any of these things, because whenever they did, the FBI would tip off Whitey Bulger's guys.
That's right. And that's the treachery of this case. This is at the heart of this case, the corruption of government, the fact that it was turned into the Bulger Bureau of Investigations.
Well, what do you think happens now? Do you think there are going to be more names named?
Somebody told me yesterday, said, you know, I think there are a lot of retired FBI agents who are going to the second floor of their homes. They're looking out the window to see if it's far enough and whether or not they have to get to the roof or they have to go to the library, which is four stories, to jump off and kill themselves.
Come on. Come on.
That was the statement, an exaggeration. But you know what? There are a number of people. And Bulger's demeanor yesterday tells me it ain't dementia. Bulger is up for the fight. He's ready for the fight. He's ready to dish. And there are all kinds of people he can dish. And those people potentially are sleeping sleepless nights.
Quick question. Catherine Grieg, his Whitey Bulger's girlfriend, we saw the pictures of her let herself go. She looked much older than her 60, a beautiful woman who had let her blonde hair go gray. You know, obviously that was, you know, part of their cover. But I heard Scott Harshberger, who is a former attorney general, a big former official in this area, speculate this morning that he thinks that maybe this whole sting, this whole operation, this ad campaign from the FBI was a cover for her so that she could possibly out her boyfriend and get away with it.
Yeah, you know, going back to that dementia issue, the rage was an issue of an angry man. She probably is an abused partner. There was often thought she was afraid to get away from him, afraid of him, would love to get away from him. It's interesting that Scott Harshberger is saying that, because that's what I've heard often these days. People say, no, you know what, this is all an elaborate cover for her. If you believe in conspiracy theories, okay, it's an elaborate cover for her.
It's an incredible story, and as we know, a very serious one, a whole community that's been trying to heal, families that have been trying to heal, but oh, the potential movie down the road. That's WBUR's David Boeri on the Whitey Bulger case. Again, Bulger and his companion, Catherine Grieg, in court this afternoon here in Boston. David, thanks so much.
You're welcome, and it's going to get worse.